But I want to before I jump into my message this morning, I do want to kind of reflect on this week. What a week. Has it been a crazy week? When I think about standing in front of my home church in Bluffton, Indiana last week, it feels like it just happened yesterday. And the other side of it feels like it happened about 6 months ago. What an incredible week we have gone through as a nation. We've been building up toward this moment of electing a new president. There was a lot of fear about what was going to happen on the other side of that election either way. And so I've had some time to reflect on this whole process. Here's what I find to be the most intriguing part of my response to the election of President Trump, President-elect Trump, in the last few days, is that the most incredible stat for me was that out of all eligible voters, 53% actually voted, meaning 47% of Americans did not exercise their right to vote. And to me, when given that opportunity that our veterans have fought for, as we have already expressed here today, there's not a greater statistic that breaks my heart than to understand that half of us did not speak into this process, no matter what direction you wanted it to go. And I recognize many of us felt like we didn't have a choice. I recognize that especially in this building, many of us felt like, who do we choose? Lesser of two evils is how it felt for many as I talked with you. But the reaction to the election of Mr. Trump seems to be really centered around inflammatory comments of a marginalized part of our society that we must listen to. And here's what I'm going to just probably put myself on some thin ice this morning, and I probably should have, you know, posted this on Facebook like the rest of you. I have stayed away. But I believe with all of my heart, as we've been talking about Jesus Christ being the hope of this world, that the church must be the voice for the voiceless, and we must value the devalued, and we must care for the broken. And when we don't do that, and when we tell people to stop crying and go home, we solve no problems. And so I'm a little bit of your pastor here today saying, stop acting like babies, all right? Is that okay? That wasn't on script either, all right? But here's what has broken my heart as I have watched the reaction to all of this, is that none of our posts, none of our social media comments will solve one thing, but your love will. You possess within, it's what we've been talking about for the last 3 weeks, and we're going to kind of culminate today. Your love to a broken, marginalized world will change that world, not your clever posts on Facebook. And so I challenge you this week to not give in to the desire to want to make somebody else feel smaller because you have something smarter to say. I challenge you this week to not give in to that impulse to share another piece of news that may or may not be totally true or factual. I challenge you this week to open up your arms, not digitally, physically, and love someone who does. We can influence this world and bring this world back that have deep hurts and pains, and is deep in that pain. Shame on us. The church must be a voice to the voiceless, care for the broken. So this leads me all to say this, and maybe I've lost most of you a long time ago, I'm not sure, but all of us, I feel like, need to pray for we need to pray for this process. We need to pray also for those who are struggling in the process. We need to pray for them. That's what Scripture calls us to do. And we also need to pray for our hearts, to see and empathize with every human soul. That has been my prayer. That I don't always understand someone's position, and I don't understand how someone could vote for a particular candidate always, but I pray for empathy that I might see what they see. And I pray that you will pray that same prayer for yourself this week. That is your pastor, just trying to share his heart about a broken world and where we are. And I believe, church, we hold the key. We hold the key. Not a new president, not a new cabinet, not a bunch of Supreme Court justices. We hold the key of how this society can turn back to God. And it won't happen unless we love. Unless we love unconditionally. Thank you, but don't clap. Love. God, help us to be a church that loves. Help my friends who are here today that have felt stung by my words today understand that they are spoken in love. And that as convinced as they may be to continue to say a certain word or to create a certain platform, may they be convinced not by my words but by your Holy Spirit today that our job is to love. God, I pray for the broken in this room, those who have been really devastated by this election because of past hurts in their own life and a lot of other things going on. God, may we love them and may they feel your love through us. And I pray, God, for our president and our president-elect, that the class that they showed us this week, that the democracy that they displayed this week, two men who have never really gotten along well, shook hands and said, we will do this because we believe in our country. And we believe for all of the men and the women who have fought and died to keep hers free. Help those men to create a great transition. But more importantly, God, help your church rise up. And may we just love, and may we let you take care of all the results. So it's just not in our hands that we can control that. And I ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.